It's all rainbows today. It's all rainbows and repentance is what we're talking about. I love a rainbow. I don't know anybody that looks at a rainbow and isn't happy when they see it. Let me ask you, what do you think of when you see a rainbow? What pops into your head? If you're out in the world and you see one, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Yes?
Pretty.
It's pretty. Before you think anything, you go, oh, that's nice. Justy's glorious. What else do you think? The pot of gold at the end. Somebody said that earlier. We do. There isn't one. There isn't an end. But you do think it. What else do you think when you see a rainbow? Yes?
For me, rainbows are my connection with God.
Your connection with God. It's just God. Yes. We've had moments in life where it was a sign. It felt like a thing that was going on. Yes. Do you not also think of work and rainbows and your little ones that you look after as a tiny brownie? What do you think, Evelyn, when you think of rainbows? Rainbows are good, aren't they? They are so pretty. You've written your name in all the colours. There you go. Thank you very much. What else do we think of? Alex?
Pride,
right? Our wonderful LGBTQ sisters and brothers who have adopted the rainbow flag as a sign of safety, of visibility, of identity. Absolutely. Oh, do you want to do the rest of the sermon? The covenant that we heard wonderfully read to us when God said, I'm not going to do that. Brilliant. Those are all the things. But I think most of us, surely, the first thing we go is, oh, that's nice. What do you think of when you see a church that has adopted the rainbow somewhere? It's got a rainbow flag flying or a symbol on the door, on the gate. There's lots of rainbows about at a church. What does that make you think of? Any thoughts? Any answers, Alex? That they're supporting the LGBT community. Probably, that's right, right? It's a church that has done some work and done some thinking, okay? And is trying to be open to people who might wear a rainbow badge or flag. Absolutely. What's that?
Without water, we'd die.
You think about water, like, and how glad you are for rain. I like that. Okay. So, we can think a lot about rainbows and churches and repentance today. Those two readings that seem very different, I think, have this in common. Right, so, I'm trying to work out what the best order is to do this in. I'm going to give you a choice. We're thinking about rainbows and what those rainbows will mean. Theo, can you come and help me? So I'm going to give you a chance in a second to make your own rainbow. Not yet, you can't. Sit down, I'll let you know. This is Amelia's little thing, what she made at school. It's a little thumbstone, right? And it's made out of air-dried clay, which is this stuff, what Theo has got, and he's wandering around with. I think there's enough of this stuff for everybody to have one each, right? You get one little block of colour. But you can't make a rainbow with one bit of colour. So you're going to have to rip it into bits and share it out with the people around you so that you can make yourself a rainbow. And then you squish it into a little circle and jam your thumb into the middle of it and you keep it in your pocket. And every time you do, your thumb fits in the middle of it, and you will remember all the other things I'm about to tell you about rainbows. So this is going to be a reminder of the stuff that I'm going to tell you about, how much we are loved and included and made to feel safe by God. So the trick is, some of us are good at doing two things at once and paying attention and like to be doing something with busy fingers while the vicar is talking. Some of us know that if we do that, we won't listen. Up to you. So if you want to swap your bits of air-dried clay that you eventually get with your friends and you want to make this while I'm talking, fine. This is a safe place. If you want to just get some bits, keep them in your hand and do it later while we're having communion, fine. If you think this is a stupid idea and you don't want to do it, fine, right? Or if you want to do this and not listen, I don't mind. But we've got two sort of separate activities. There's what I'm going to tell you about and the questions I'm going to ask you. And then there's making a little rainbow thing. You could make a little round thing like this that fits nicely with your thumb in it, or you could make a little cross or a little, like an actual rainbow and take it home. If you make it and then leave it alone without squishing it for a couple of days, it'll be permanent. It stays, right? And if you want to leave it, once you've made it so you can put it down somewhere safe, go and pop it on a windowsill and I'll know why you're wondering about, okay? So you're going to get a sermon now, but also during this or after this, you can make yourself a rainbow. Does that make sense? Right? So, I'll give you a moment. Swap your bits of clay with the people around you because you'll need to have different bits of different colours and you can do what you like with it. You can have that back. So you'll need, everybody needs a colour, and then you swap your colours with other people, you'll need several. I'll now try and talk while that's going on. Listen as much as you like. I want to talk to you about repentance and saying sorry. I'm going to tell you a story. Can you imagine someone at home, if you live in a home with other people, there might be someone in your home that does not change the toilet roll when they have finished the toilet roll. Even if there is not, if you are blessed to live in a house where the toilet roll is always changed, lucky you, but you can perhaps imagine a home where that occurs. Imagine such a home, and we all know who that person is, and you say to them, listen, it's not good enough, and they say, I repent. Woe is me, I am very sorry. I think you will know if they have repented. How will you know if they have truly repented? Yes. They'd say it in a different voice. Like, okay, you can tell from the way that they say it. Sure. I think within a week you will know for really sure if they have repented. I should have your microphone on, shouldn't I? How do we know that someone's really repented about changing the toilet roll? Val?
They won't do it again.
They actually change what they do. They change the toilet roll. You can tell if someone has repented by the way they behave. Repentance is not one of those things that is actually about saying sorry. It's really about saying sorry and then doing differently. This story that we had in Genesis that was read to us is God repenting. Sometimes we think of God saying, I'm always the same. But God changes at this point. This rainbow story is God saying, I am not going to do that again. And it's this one-sided deal. He doesn't say, I won't do this as long as you're all good. God says, I won't do this again ever. Whatever you do, it's like this contract where all of the risk is on God's side. It's absolutely lovely. And that's kind of, for me, it points at Jesus. Imagine if you bought a rubbish house and someone said, no, you're not allowed to knock it down. Well, how are you going to fix it? You've got to get in it and work on it from the inside and start doing stuff. When God said, I'm not going to wipe things out, it points to the fact that he's going to say, right, I'll come down, I'll get involved, I'll start working on the cracks and fixing it up from the inside as Jesus. So to me, the rainbow, of all the things it is, it's lots of things, but a rainbow is a sign of safety and unbreakable love. It's when God said, you guys are safe now, I'm not going to do that ever again. Nothing bad will happen to you because of divine punishment. It's not to say that bad things don't happen, but you're not worried about divine punishment from above, which is incredible that God voluntarily gives that up. People back then would be surprised. That's not how God's work. So that's real love, and that's safety, I think. I wonder if you know anybody who you know will love you whatever you do, who has promised to say, I will always love you, I will never be that horribly angry with you and cause you harm, whatever you do. Can you think of anyone you feel that safe with? I hope so. It might not be a very long list. We call that grace, getting God's love even when we get things wrong and we don't deserve it. So we're going to think and talk about that, and we're going to make this rainbow to remind us all of God's incredible unconditional love. So, you made a rainbow. If you squish them lots all of the time, really hard, what you will make instead of a rainbow is brown. And that is a reminder of different stuff. So be careful with your rainbows. But it is possible to do that. So these are our jobs today. We're going to think about safety and make something you can take away that you could sit on your desk or pop in your pocket that is a reminder of the fact that we are loved by God regardless of what we do, unconditionally, which I think is brilliant. But we're going to have some questions. I'm going to ask you to think about these. We've got some questions that are going to appear on the board, and it's going to be over to you to think about these. Because this was a remarkable thing for God to have said to all the people in the world, you guys are safe now. I wonder, first question, I don't want to hear your answers unless you want to come tell me individually perhaps, but just a personal one. Do you feel safe? It's quite a vulnerable thing. That's why I'm not going to ask you to answer. Do you feel safe with people? Do you feel safe in your home? Do you feel safe with God? Is God a safe person, a safe God for you to be with? Is this church a safe place? I hope that you have enough safe places in your life. If you don't, come see me afterwards and we can help. But here's the first question. And we're going to talk in the same little groups you're in with your twos and threes. And I'm going to want actual answers to these. What does a safe person look like? Okay, you must know some of those people that you feel safe to be yourself with, right? What are those people like? Talk to each other about this. What is a safe person like? I hope you've got a list in your head. A safe person where you can be yourself and be at home is like whatever. And then what is a safe church like? What would a safe church be like? And it could be stuff like, they don't make me do the actions. Yeah, I don't want to feel oppressed into doing those, but you know, but there might be bigger things than that. And if you've got those thoughts, then we can start thinking, how do we become that as a church? I think we're a reasonably safe church. How do we be a safer church? How do we grow fully into a place where people feel safe? Because it's important. And what do we need to repent of? If we're going to become an even safer church, a place where people feel safe, what do we need to change? Because this is what repentance is. This is what confession is going to be. Is what do we need to let go of? When God did that thing with the rainbow, he said, I am not going to do this anymore. God still had the right to be cross with people, and he gave it up. What do we need to give up as individuals, as a church? There you go. What might we need to give up? It's important that we're a safe church. How do we become that? And let me tell you why we're about to do this. Then I'm going to give you some time to have a think. I don't think we flourish as people unless we feel safe. If you're worried that the people you're with, or the church you're in, or the family you're in, or the job you're in, is going to be a place where you don't feel safe, you already feel defensive. Does that make sense? You're busy on guard. You're worried. It's only when you feel safe that we can flourish and grow and thrive and connect with God. That's a difficult thing. So, what's a safe church like? A safe person? How do we become that and show it? And what might we need to repent of? Talk to each other in your little groups. What's that like? Then I'm going to ask you. Got it? Says, I want to know what we can be doing. What's a safe church like? I say, I think we're all right at this. We could probably do better, but we want to know what is this. But I also want you to have a think. Have a seat. I want you to have a think. What's a safe person like so that we can be safer as people, right? We all want to save people in our lives. So what's a safe church or a safe person like? What are those places like you've been where you felt safe? We'll try and capture some of this. Yes? A safe place is not one where they shove the microphone in your face. Go on.
I think a safe church is like a welcoming and friendly church.
Absolutely. If you don't feel welcomed and friendly as soon as you get in, then you won't get to everything else. It has to be welcoming and friendly if you want to feel safe. Yes?
Often start with a smile.
Start with a smile. Just that. That people feel pleased to see you. There's a friend of mine's in Alcoholics Anonymous. Obviously, I can't tell you who he is. But they write, like, if I turn up at the back of church, people turn around and frown. Like, why weren't you here on time? If you turn up at the back of Alcoholics Anonymous late, they are pleased to see you and they're glad you made it. We should always be pleased to see whoever walks in at the back. And I think we are. So a smile is important. What else is a welcome, is a safe church like? Have you got it?
I don't think there is a safe person because a safe person to you might be a safe person to you, but someone else, it wouldn't be.
Okay, so it's subjective. So there's no such thing as a safe person, but there's someone who feels like a safe person to you. Okay, I think that's true, but we can still try to be that safe person to as many people as we can, but we need to remember that there's not... Yes, that's a clear point. Thank you very much. I like that. Helpful.
A safe church is like where everyone's nice and just loving.
Nice and loving. Okay, that's really important. Even if they have to tell each other off sometimes as well. You can still be nice when you have to say to someone, oh, I'm not sure you should do that. Nice and loving. Yes?
A diverse church.
A diverse church. It helps to be that if you turn up and if you... There are some men here. If you turned up at a church and everybody there was a lady, you'd feel a bit... And vice versa. If there's no one who looks like you... Carvel is not the most diverse place in the world, is it? We're a fairly white place. has to be said. But, you know, we're a bit diverse. We try and be as diverse as we can. We should look about as diverse as we do in as the community. Sermons go better when I've written them down in advance. You know what I mean? It helps when you turn up and there's someone who looks like you.
A safe place to come to, somewhere that I look forward to coming to and don't regard it as a repetitive ritual that has to do, because otherwise Mummy and Daddy won't be very happy with me.
Okay. A place where you can put down the stuff about having to do things. A place that invites you to do even the same stuff, but invites rather than makes you do it. Yes. What else is a safe church like? Kim?
I think it is somewhere that you go and you leave feeling happier.
Okay. Yeah, you should leave feeling better than you did. More joyful, less sad, whatever that is, happier. Yeah, a happy place. Lots of things. Anything that we've missed? We talked about welcoming, friendly,
questioning church, and a church where you can raise your doubts and fears and cynicisms and not be judged for them.
Yeah, a place where you don't have to switch your brain off at the door. If you're sat there with questions, you don't feel like a weirdo, where they're encouraged and, yeah, doubts and questions are welcomed. I hope so. We do that a lot here. Oh, good. These are all things that we do. What are we missing will be the question. And how do we show it? A place you can be yourself. A place where there's no judgment, I heard from someone back there. David, quick one.
I mean, I've been blessed, really, because I moved into Carfley years and years ago. And I feel this place is a wonderful place to live. And so anybody who comes in here should be going out there with joy on their face. And we've got to let people know that, because we're 6,000 people in this village. And this is just a reflection of what we are here. You know, we feel safe, but if you're not singular, if you're not singular-minded, then you're going to look further and you're going to think, what is happening out there?
Right. Yes, we want this to be a safe place for everyone in Carvley, and there aren't 6,000 people here on a Sunday morning yet. I think a lot of it is... Go on.
Just to add balance to the happiness and the joy, I need church to be a safe place for me to come and lament, because sometimes life is really painful and really hard, and I don't want to just be able to come in here and have my happy face glued on and my mask on. I want to be able to take my mask off and really feel my feels.
Yeah, a place to be yourself and not judged. I think it should be a place you come out happier than you came in, however that is, and sometimes that involves getting sadder first, right? Feel being able to be your authentic self. I think a lot of it's going to be about judgment and not having a go at people and not condemning them. This was one of the quotes that I said earlier. John 3:17 says, the Father did not send the Son into the world to condemn it. So probably he didn't send you or me into it to do that either. So it's going to be about giving up our right. And that's, I think, the rainbow. I'm going to bring it back to that. That rainbow promise from God is God saying, I am not going to bring divine wrath on you for what you do. Even though God has the right to do that. So I want us to be the rainbow people of God, that even though we might have the right occasionally to judge people and to tell them off and be cross to them about stuff, it never helps. And if you are a safe person that people feel that they can be themselves with and forgiven for stuff, then that's better. So we might have to give stuff up. It's Lent. It's the church's big season of repentance, of changing its mind. So I think this Lent we're invited into all the colours of the rainbow, not just the sackcloth and ashes. And maybe one of the things we need to repent of is how we are oblivious to God some of the time, how we go through the world without noticing the presence of God. But perhaps we're also, as I said, called to be God's rainbow people, walking through creation alongside him, a portable sign of unconditional love and safety. And that's where we're going to come back to the stones. We're going to do confession in a moment. Your stones might be a list, might be a thing you can think of that you might need to give up, even though you've got the right to it, or something that is not helpful. And we're going to think about that, and you can put it down. I'll leave that, Richard, to explain as we come into confession.